now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Every goal, every game, everywhere. The Times and the Sunday Times. Now with goals.
I'm Gabriel Marcotti. Don't worry, this is a real podcast. No ambiguity here. The preceding joke was written into my script by my producer, Dave McGuire. Would one of my guests like to explain it? Silence all around. Anyway,
no, yeah.
Not your guests.
Okay,
your friends. The
voice you heard was Alison Rudd, and the French-sounding voice was Julian Lawrence, and they will be my guests today. Rory K. Smith will be joining us a little bit later. You'll all be pleased to know we won't have to listen to him for a while. Anyway, so we're going to do things a little differently today. We're going to be taking a look back at the season gone, and we're going to issue report cards because you're all dying to know, aren't you, whether Stoke gets a B plus or a B minus. As you hear in real time, I am calling up my Premier League table. Okay, so this is how it's going to work. We will be a special Premier League report card panel. I will be the chairman.
Yeah.
Alison will be the managing director, stroke secretary, and Julian will be.
You had to add secretary.
Well, secretary because you're reading things. And Julian, you're general secretary. You're like Infantino was at UEFA, or like the woman who's now there. And Julian, you will be the committee member.
Okay.
So the way it's going to work is...
Order.
Thank you. Alison will read out the name of the club, starting from the top of the table.
Yeah.
And she will give her mark. Julian will give her mark. If I agree, that will become the mark. If I disagree, I will decide some sort of average or melange of your two marks.
So is it A, B, C, and D, E?
No, there's no E. There's no E. A, B, C, D, E, F.
Because Riven Hart probably deserves the E. Anyway... We do letters and not numbers, yeah? It's not like...
Yes, A, B, C, D, F. And you can give pluses or minuses, too.
Okay, yeah.
Alison, would you like to commence the team at the top of the table?
Leicester City, A++.
Ooh, two pluses. I don't know if that's allowed.
It is, because some schools give them.
Well, yeah, I would give A++2. Chair.
Okay.
Chair. Are we calling you a chair? What's
your
name?
Yes, you will call me master chairperson. Yes. Final score is A+, because we do not recognize plus pluses. It's just a way of making children feel better about themselves. Spurs, of course, had Arsenal.
Oh!
Freudian lapse.
Trolling people.
Arsenal, interesting one, because of course they finished second. Wenger's best season placement-wise in many, many years. Not quite as good points-wise and not as good probably internal happiness-wise among the fan base. So, Alison, this one might be a little bit more challenging for you.
It is challenging. I'm going to give them a B.
B, okay.
I give a B plus, Master Chair.
You guys are very, very generous.
Really?
Second on the table. I had a bad year when they could have won it. I will go C plus to B minus. Well, no, think about it. If Spurs hadn't lost yesterday, would you all be getting like, B plus season for Arsenal? They finished third. That's really improvement.
Yeah,
the year when
everybody
sucked.
What? No, Spurs lost. They finished second. And C plus for a team finishing second is harsh. It is harsh. They finished second.
If Bayern Munich finished second in the Bundesliga, you wouldn't give them a C plus?
Yeah, probably.
It's relative to the resources and relative to the
Arsenal have never dominating the Premier League like Bayern have dominated the Bundesliga in the last few years.
And they never will because they're in a different country.
True.
Alison, proceed.
This could take a while, couldn't it? Tottenham, again, I'm going to give them an A. It was a dreadful last few weeks, but an A.
Ooh.
Julien?
I give them B+.
All right. I give them A-. So we're good. A- simply because of the last few days, but...
It's less points than AVB, yeah? They've had less points this season with Pochettino than they had in the year.
They played better football than they
no,
did.
No, no, I'm just saying. 72 against 70. So third place. They were never really
in the running. That's because you're in short for this last game.
Yeah, but, you know, they didn't win the first four games of the season. Didn't win any of the four last game of the season. Just saying, I think B plus is good.
I gave AVB an A plus plus, if you must know, that year. Alison.
Man City, B minus. That might be generous.
That's very generous.
C. That's a C.
Okay, I'm going to go even harsher. I'm going to say C minus.
Doesn't the Capital One Cup mean anything to anybody?
No.
Southampton, A.
Are they really fifth?
Well, they
amazing,
are, they
isn't
are
it?
For now.
A. Yep, no argument?
Yeah,
A,
yeah.
All right. Well done, the Kuman. Well done, the German-Canadian ice hockey player. Was it Kruger?
Ralph Kruger.
Okay.
Man United, they are difficult. Boom. They are difficult. We gave this, whoever did our grades in the game on Monday gave them an F, which is quite
that's
funny,
that's worse
really.
Than me. I said E earlier. That was worse than me.
I'll give them a C minus.
Julian?
I'd give them a D minus.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh,
so
yes,
it averages out to a D.
Have that, Louis.
West Ham, A minus.
Yes, I like that. A minus for West Ham. I like that.
Okay,
that's
I'm
a
on
cool
board
grade.
With that. A minus. So West Ham and Spurs get the same grade.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Alison.
Liverpool. Well, it kind of depends on Wednesday night. A, if they win it and are in the Champions League.
No, this is for the Premier League.
Premier
Come on,
League,
biggest,
yeah.
best, blah, blah, blah.
Don't start, like...
No.
You can take into account
it's
Brendan.
Context. It's halfway context. Through. It's context. Because I think Klopp has had to... He has foregone a lot of
okay, then you
what
can
is
give,
required
you can give
in the Premier
grades.
League in order
yeah,
to get to
grade,
two cup
Give
finals.
Two grades, and we'll take the average. Give your Liverpool under Brendan grade.
Ooh.
E.
Okay, there's no E. F.
F.
Or D.
Hang on, what do you mean there's no E?
There's no
D.
There's no
before
E.
You go from D.
No, I don't give E's. Oh.
We do in the paper.
That's fine. I'm not the newspaper.
Well, they didn't fail, did they? So I'm
under Brendan, you can give them a grade under Brendan,
okay,
and
D.
they gave under Klopp.
I give them a D under Brendan, and I can't get away from the context, so I'm giving them an A. an A under Klopp.
Okay.
So what's that?
It's the average of an A and a D. What's your opinion? Don't let her influence you.
No. I won't. I agree.
Your
actually,
independent
I agree.
Opinion.
I'm not so keen on the context, but I think
an A and
Brendan,
a D.
Yeah.
An you think Klopp D. deserves an A?
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. All right, Liverpool, you get a B minus on the season because you know what? Klopp or no Klopp, in the end, you play all these dudes nobody's ever heard of, Ojo, Stewart, whatever the hell, and then you still finish like eighth. I mean, it's pretty. Look at all these crummy teams ahead of Liverpool.
Yeah, but that's not just Klopp's.
Sorry, where were Liverpool under Brendan when he took over?
Eighth.
Mm-hmm. Where are they now?
Eighth.
Okay. So I don't have a problem giving him a high grade, and we averages it in with Alisson's shooting me daggers because I'm giving I'm not showing Klopp enough love. So let's move on.
Stoke, B minus.
Bit harsh.
Yeah, B plus. I was going to say it's their best season ever, isn't it? Or just
no, it's just the same as ever.
Okay.
Well, no, they don't have seasons like that all the time, do they?
Same points.
I'm happy with the B plus.
Thank you, Chair.
We love Sparky.
Yeah, we do. And Bojan.
Okay, Chelsea F.
Yeah, F minus. Does that exist or what? What's after F?
No, solid F for Chelsea.
Everton. That's hard, isn't it?
I know. How do you evaluate those semi-final cup runs, which generated so much excitement?
Three home wins. No, four home wins. That's special.
Okay.
C minus.
Yeah, C minus. I was going to say. Oh, you looked a bit.
I was going to say D.
D. I did think
C
about
and
D.
C minus and D are quite close.
D is just above failing. Proceed.
Swansea, because they have Gylfi, A plus. But seriously, Swansea, C.
C. You expect them to finish far higher, evidently. A bit harsh.
B minus, I think. Cause
yeah, B minus is about right.
Watford. Now we're getting, it's getting existential because what are we marking here? Because as a club, it's kind of weird the way the season has ended at Watford. It's too surreal for me and I don't like
we'll
it.
We'll be talking about Watford later.
I know but it makes the marking really difficult. But overall, trying to factor in
newly promoted club.
Stuff, I'd give them
lowest wage bill
B+.
In the Premier League.
B plus, I was going to say B plus too.
B plus sounds about right. Might have been a little higher if QSF had bought into the system a little more. They hadn't tailed off so badly. Yes.
West Brom.
Pulis.
Does what he does. It's been really difficult for West Brom. The whole Berahino thing was very debilitating, but I think probably B minus.
Yeah.
I'm going to go B because of that monster that he unleashed in the last couple days, or the last couple games on the Premier League, that 17-year-old kid.
Yes.
Leko. Like,
Leko,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. He's England's answer to Leroy Sané.
If Pulis couldn't see that one coming, though, it would have been really, really sad.
I think we have to give credit to Pulis on this one. The guy's a 17.
True. But
like, I could have seen Pulis like, well, why don't we wait for you until you grow to 6'8" and like bulk up? Like, no. He's just like, my God, like, there is a football manager inside me, and this guy's really, really good.
I bet you he humiliate Chester at training, though. So I'm pretty sure it's quite easy to see for anyone at training that he looks the part.
Well done, Tony. Proceed.
Crystal Palace. It's a hard one as well.
Come on, it's Alan Pardew. It's not hard.
They're 15th in the table.
Yeah, but they had a really great start to the season. And they're in the FA Cup final. And they're a club that traditionally yo-yo. I'll give them a B.
What? No way. No. That's impossible.
That's not acceptable.
That's a Julian, D. That's a you. D.
A D?
It's a D.
Okay. I will give them a C-.
You too.
And that's without factoring Pardew in.
Alison couldn't be a teacher.
No.
So all the nice kids she would like, she couldn't give them like D's and F's.
Very biased here towards your pets.
Bournemouth, B+.
Yes. I would give an A, but...
I will go A- with Bournemouth.
Oh, yes.
And the only reason it's an A- is that they actually spent a lot of money on guys and then they all got hurt and never didn't play. But I mean, to be honest, It's pretty remarkable there. And they tailed off a bit.
And I should remind everybody that when we did our predictions of the season at the start of this season, I was the only one saying they would stay up.
Yes, I definitely had them going down for obvious reasons.
Sunderland, B.
B, yeah.
Yep, B sounds right stayed up.
Well, no, and is it worth marking relegated teams?
Yes.
Don't they all get Fs because they failed?
No,
I don't think
Norwich, when you can say, like, three teams have to go down, right?
Yeah.
What's your grade for Norwich?
C-.
I think they did what was expected. Yeah, that sounds right.
We thought they would be there at the start of the season, so...
Newcastle?
Well, they actually made the last day exciting, didn't they? So let's give them a D-.
It's a D.
It's an F because they went down, and Newcastle are a Premier League club who should stay up. And finally, Villa?
They get an F-.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, can you get like a Z or something?
Congratulations to Leicester, Spurs, Southampton and Bournemouth. You all get A's. And sorry, Newcastle, Villa and Chelsea, you all failed. Right, moving on. Our team of the season, as per our protocol in past years, so we don't get bogged down in endless stupid arguments nobody cares about. This will be the procedure. First of all, your formation, Alison.
4-2-3-1.
Agreed.
Okay, so there's no argument there on the formation. We will begin with Alison. Alison will nominate her person. If you agree, there's nothing to discuss, so we'll move on to the next person. Who is your goalkeeper?
Weirdly, this was the hardest, but I've gone for De Gea.
Yeah, David De Gea too.
I went for David De Gea as well, so it is David De Gea. Who was your right back, Alison?
Probably just Kyle Walker.
I went for Hector Bellerin.
I also went for Hector Bellerin. So, sorry, Kyle Walker.
I don't mind that.
No, that's fine. All right, so there's no, if you feel strong enough, you want to argue.
He almost lost his leg, and we feel sorry for Kyle Walker, who could have lost his leg yesterday at Newcastle. Leg,
But we digress. Centre-back.
Would you do this as a pair?
No, you can name one.
Okay, I think the least controversial is Alderweireld.
Julian?
So I know you wrote Wes Morgan, so I keep Wes Morgan. My other one was Laurent Koscielny.
I'm going to go for Alderweireld as well, because he's not French. No, I'll go for Alderweireld. No, because then we'll have too many Arsenal players already.
Okay.
We're already way past our quota.
Well, we've got one.
Exactly.
Oh, right.
No, I think when you look at Alderweireld playing alongside Wimmer, you know, after Vertonghen went out, you look at, he went for that absurd period where he didn't even concede a foul. Spurs were generally good defensively before the Newcastle game. So, yeah, to me, it's Alderweireld. Well done. Alison.
And the other one, it has to be Wes Morgan. I mean, he's played every minute and he didn't get a summer off.
Because I have a decision here. I can veto
Captain
it
Morgan.
Because I am the chairman. And I went for Virgil van Dijk, who, of course, was an integral part of that Southampton team. Scored at least, I think, 3 really important goals this year. Left back.
Ryan Bertrand.
Ryan.
Interesting. I had a left back suggestion in my team of the season, which nobody agreed with. And it was Charlie Daniels.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, you like him more than Ryan Bertrand, right? Because he's a former Chelsea player.
I thought about him and I thought,
Yeah. Should we be hipstery and go for Charlie Daniels?
I would love that. If Alison allows it, yeah.
And Alison says yes. So yes. It's Charlie Daniels.
Charlie.
Former Tottenham star Charlie Daniels, no less. Okay, you're two in front of the back four. Let's get the obvious one in first, shall we?
Comte.
Okay, no argument with N'Golo Kanté.
Nope.
The other player in front of the back four.
Moussa Dembélé.
I put Dele Alli.
Oh, no, play him there. I don't play him there.
I played him there.
Oh, you don't play him there.
Dele Alli gets in further up the pitch, if you want him to.
Well, I put Mesut Ozil as well.
It's okay. There's too many. We told you, you've hit your quota of Arsenal players already.
Saying.
Yeah, I think it is Dembélé. In fact, that's who I picked in my team of the season, too. I had these two. This is good. This is looking more and more like my team of the season. I managed to get six out of seven of my guys in there. But okay.
And then Dele Alli.
In the three?
Dele Alli. Oh. Centrally. Number 10, Dele Alli. Got to be.
Ah, Ozil there. No one is creating more chances than Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, but he does that beautifully. But Dele Alli does a lot of other stuff as well.
True.
No love for Dimitri Payet.
No, Payet can play wide. He's played mostly wide this season. And I think you can play Ozil and Alli in the same team.
Why don't we do the three together, okay? So that it'll be easier. Because I'm assuming there's one we all agree on.
I think there's the three then we all agree on.
We had Mahrez, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mahrez is a choice.
Dele Alli in the centre then, if you don't want to have my Mesut. And Alli then Payet left.
No, I'm putting Vardy there, because you've got to have Vardy there.
No way. No, we're talking about proper football players, yeah? You cannot not have Payet in your team.
I don't know, three Spurs players? Possibly four, if you guys go crazy and insist on Kane?
Don't look at the clubs. We can't do it. We're like...
Well,
otherwise.
No, but the question is, how good were they really if then their team... And you even had Walker in there if their team finishes third.
No, but are we do a team of the season with just one player per club?
No, this is fine, but I would suggest...
You can't leave Vardy out.
No.
And you can't leave Kane out.
Okay.
Golden boot Kane. So you put them both in.
Okay, then why don't we go 4-4-2 and we'll have Vardy and Kane as our strikers. This is my negotiated solution.
Right, tell me.
Right, because you can't leave Kane out, according to you. And then we have our midfield is Mahrez, Kanté, Dembélé, and Dimitri Payet.
So no Alli then. You cannot not have Dele Alli.
Why are you so anti-French? You want Payet?
No! I think you should have Mahrez, Alli, and Payet. And that would be incredible.
But then
imagine
you have to either leave out the Hurricane or you have to leave out Jamie Vardy.
Listen, between Vardy and Hurricane, there's no match. Come on. There's no match. One is a proper football player. The other one is...
Alison.
I would have Vardy on the bench. Bring him on for the last 25 minutes when he has to do the,
Alison,
a lot of
you get the
running.
Last word. Before my last
that
word.
That team, Alisson, doesn't have Dele Alli in.
You're not going to leave out Payet, are you? Showing your big club bias.
We've got Payet. Dimitri Payet.
Payet's definitely on the bench.
Okay, your choice is Payet or Alli.
Alli.
And Alli, you know, will be a great player for many years to come, whereas poor Dimitri Payet, who knows?
And Vardy, who knows Vardy? Where's
who knows Vardy?
Payet?
Yeah. But it's okay, you want to be unkind, you want to pack the team with English players and Spurs players. All right, so this is your official game podcast team of the season, and wonderfully with no input. You know that if we'd had Rory here, there would have been many more French speakers, there would have been fewer Spurs players. Payet would have definitely been in there.
Yep.
But anyway, your team is in goal, David De Gea, Manchester United, across the back four, Hector Bellerin, Arsenal, Toby Alderweireld, a defender named Toby, for Spurs, Wes Morgan, Captain Morgan from Leicester, and your left back, Charlie Daniels. There's your wild card choice.
Hooray!
Stop saying that we ignore small clubs. In midfield, N'Golo Kanté, playing either side of Moussa Dembélé, and then your three are Riyad Mahrez, Dele Alli, and Jamie Vardy having to adapt to the wing, which, by the way, when he played on the wing, he was a lot less prolific, Alisson. Just so you know.
It's because we love you, Alisson.
It's the Hurricane. Well done, everybody.
Who's our coach of the season? We need a manager for this team, apart from... You know,
who would you nominate as manager of the season?
I would nominate Mauricio Pochettino.
I'd go for the Poch.
Okay, I think you guys are crazy, and I veto that, and I go for Claudio Ranieri.
That's not democratic.
What? I'm the chair, what? What are you do with it? You're really going to say Pochettino?
Yeah.
Rory's there, so...
Rory, hang on. Rory. Who's your manager of the season?
Ranieri. Can I just apologise for being late as well? I was on the phone to Monchi.
Oh,
nice.
As you do.
You're
discussing the England team with Monchi.
Monchi is much more important than all
three
of you.
Right, enough of this. Moving on to events at Old Trafford. Now, I don't know where you guys were when you found out. I doubt any of you were at Old Trafford. I was on my way to Stamford Bridge. And, you know, when I heard about the evacuation, I freaked out. And then that story had kind of turned into, oh, a big joke, let's all laugh at the stupid security firm by the evening, people were cracking jokes about it. And that's fine. People deal with things whichever way they feel is appropriate. And maybe it's some sort of cathartic thing. But it didn't make me comfortable. And I think we can laugh about the stupidity of the whatever this firm was. Rory, are you comfortable with this response? That we then all kind of have a giggle about it?
Well, like you say, I think it's natural that people seek humour in stressful situations. I think that Twitter, which is generally where we all take our reaction from now, is it has a kind of slightly snarky, basic temperament. But I think it is quite a serious story, even though it turned out to be a mistake. Whether it had been... I saw Piers Morgan saying to someone last night that it was funny until we found out it was real. Even if it's a fake, it's not funny. It shows, A, that this is a genuine possibility. It shows that, for all that the police and the army and Man United reacted very well when it was found, it does raise questions why there wasn't a sweep before the game started, or why there wasn't sufficient of a sweep before the game started. And I think it's another sort of salutary reminder. I don't want to come over as all kind of holier than thou and serious and what have you. But it's another salutary reminder, especially going into the Euros, because of what happened in Paris in November and Brussels earlier this year. Another reminder that football is a target and we all have to be very, very careful.
It's a reminder also that big organisations can be run quite pathetically and without joined-up thinking. Because if you have a big security mock-up, and then there's a security alert, surely somebody somewhere thinks that the two are connected. Let's think it through. It strikes me, without knowing every single detail of it, they went straight into operational mode without applying any lateral thought or logic to what was going on.
Well, you probably don't want to take a chance in that. Because, you know, I think the argument is while you're sitting there applying your lateral logic, you know, what if it isn't? What if the device they found wasn't the one that idiot security firm left behind, but what if there's another one there?
But that makes no sense, because if you have a mock-up of an attack, and presumably lots of institutions and organisations who feel they're at threat do that, that doesn't make any sense. If you do plant things for dogs to find, then there will always that has always happened. There has always been a fake device in an area. Does that mean you can never, ever move on from that on the basis that once upon a time you had a fake device in your building? Therefore, you must always assume...
Alison, when they found the fake device, could they be 100% immediately sure that the fake device that they found, well, that A, the device was fake, and B, that it was the one that the security firm had left behind?
Well, also...
They disrupted it before knowing, no?
What do you mean you logged them in?
You don't go around planting fake bombs without making sure everybody... The police and the management know where you've left them.
Okay, obviously, there's
it's
no
the
question.
The dogs that are being tested, not the staff.
You obviously want to keep track of your devices, and presumably some idiot went there like, oh, look, I had 20 fake bombs and now I only have 19. Gee, where did the other one go? I agree with you there, right? But I'm just imagining whoever's in charge of security at Old Trafford and they find a device. They're not sure if it's fake or real. Yes, they know they were testing them a few days earlier. I wouldn't want to be the one who takes a chance on saying, oh, well, clearly this must be the fake one the security people left behind and not the one that some other psychopath put there.
But, Gab, I can't blame them
for evacuating the stadium.
Yeah, no, I think they did really well with it.
Which is that as soon as that is found and that they announce the Operation Code Red over the tannoy at Old Trafford, there is a process in place. You have to go through the process. That's how these things work.
Precisely.
So as soon as... I wouldn't pretend to know exactly, but I would imagine that involves a police logistics detachment coming. They analyse it. They then get a bomb expert in. They then call the Royal Logistics Corps. There is a process to go through, so they don't really have it. They may well have known, not immediately, but they may well have known relatively quickly that was the likely explanation, but they have to go through those. That's how security works, and it's the way security should work.
So the game's obviously been postponed now to Tuesday night. It becomes kind of an irrelevant game. It's interesting. I just leave you this thought, Julian. I love my conspiracy theories. Ollie Kay spread a conspiracy theory that I hadn't thought of by debunking it on Twitter, which is basically saying, like, it's kind of thing like, I can't believe, I'm paraphrasing here, Ollie, I can't believe some conspiracy theories are suggesting that United might have planted this so that they could get the game delayed and therefore have an advantage vis-a-vis Manchester City, I guess, in the race for fourth place. It's a classic thing where, like, once you say this, by the way, it's not true. It's kind of like if, you know, like I said, oh, it's not true that, you know, Rory Smith eats his boogers. I'm already planting that idea out there, right? Yeah. Nobody's going to give this any credence, right?
No.
Good. So we can move on. Sorry, Ollie.
But they lose 2 days of, you know, preparation for the FA Cup final, though. Is you play Tuesday night instead of playing Sunday afternoon. Palace play Sunday afternoon. You've got...
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but whether you think it's not...
It is disruptive. I also do kind of wonder, though, about that. It's not like they have to travel or anything from...
Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You know, they're still there in Manchester. You know, I don't think it's going to be a huge deal, but obviously it would have been better.
Yeah. I don't know, imagine just like someone like Martial twists his ankle or something on Tuesday night. If he had done it on Sunday afternoon, he would have had more time to recover for Saturday.
Right.
Then he would have on Tuesday night. So it's just not ideal.
Surely with fourth place being gone, Van Gaal sends out the kids on Tuesday.
Yeah, he can go play all those guys we've never heard of.
Well, gets even more booed at Old Trafford for his last game ever there.
Send out who?
So he puts the kids, they get beaten by Bournemouth, and Van Gaal gets booed even more for his last ever game at Old Trafford.
Do you think Van Gaal cares if people boo him? Do you think Van Gaal cares what you think?
I hope he doesn't, because...
Julian told him a fraud about 18 years ago.
I don't think Van Gaal... I think Van Gaal is just one of those uber-confident people, just doesn't really care what other people
maybe.
Think.
It's not nice being booed by 76,000 people if you lose against Bournemouth on a Tuesday night.
Right, moving on. Roberto Martinez is no longer the Everton manager. I think it's safe to say that we saw this coming. I have to say this about him, and I'd love to get your views. He really went from sort of being bright young thing to really the recipient of a lot of bile and venom for a lot of people. And I can understand it from Everton fans, because it's their club. But I also feel kind of neutral. It's kind of said, like, oh, we love the story of Roberto coming over at 23 and playing in the lower divisions. And then, you know, he does it right. And he's the perfect blend of Catalan culture and English culture and Welsh culture. And look at this. And then all of a sudden, he's like some kind of dolt who just talks nonsense. Who, like, you know, oh, look, we lost 4-0. Well, we played well. But, you know, like, Rory, is it the delivery? Is it the stuff he said that kind of made him look worse than... In the eyes of, again, not Everton fans, but the general public?
It's certainly, from what I gathered a couple of months ago doing a piece on it, yeah, for Everton fans, it was the relentless positivity, the pathological sunniness, Alison, that started
nice phrase,
to grate after a while. I think in terms of the general public, yeah, there's a little bit of Rodgers-itis, I think, that there was a feeling maybe that you were trying to be sold something. I really like Roberto. I've got a lot of time for him. Appears to have fallen out a little bit, but... I think he's a good manager. I think he'll get another job in England. I would hope that he doesn't suffer from what Paul Lambert suffered, which is that it goes wrong at a club, partly through your own fault and partly through stuff out of your control, and you kind of that's it, that's your career done. I think that's too harsh. But I think there was a feeling among people, even dating back to Wigan, that Martinez, however good the game he played was, taught a much better one. And after a while, I think that does start to grate on people. I've found the bile directed at him from both people outside Everton and Everton supporters uncomfortable. I think it's the same to an extent with Wenger. I think there comes a point where you sort of think, look, you've got to sort of rein this in a little bit, because there's this race to be the most kind of, not offensive, but the most kind of aggressive towards this person who you've decided isn't up to the job. And it sits really uncomfortably with me. As with Brendan Rodgers, there was this sense that people felt that they were being sold something, and I think British people in particular resent that.
My theory is that it went wrong for him when John Stones was linked with Chelsea, and he put in a transfer request, Stones, and Martinez said, oh, he put the request in by accident, and that's how he glossed over the whole incident. And I kind of feel that's when people started to think, that doesn't make any sense. Roberto, do you actually believe Do you believe what you're saying? And if you do, that's not good. And if you don't and you're saying it, that's not good either. Because that is a slightly... I love him too. I love him too, Rory. I think he's got a lot going for him as a manager and as an individual. He's incredibly lovely. But it's just a very peculiar way of handling... That whole Stones thing, I think, was debilitating to Everton and to the defence and to Martinez. But to come up with the theory that Stones put in a transfer request by accident... He said it to me. He definitely said it. It's just... peculiar.
But Julian,
the worst with Martinez, sorry, Gab, is I think the worst.
By the way, can I just say right on this point? Thank you, Rory, for pronouncing his name correctly. I just want to emphasize that you can call him Martinez when you choose to. Julian, of course, does it naturally because he was a big Two Live Crew fan in the late 80s. Allison, you probably weren't into that sort of rap music, so you get a pass. You are the only person on this podcast allowed to continue calling him Martinez. Please proceed.
No, I was just saying, the Leighton Baines incident was, I think, was the worst that can even happen to a manager. You know, whoever you are,
So just to fill in, Leighton Baines gives an interview where he says that maybe the chemistry isn't what it could be or something to that effect. I think pretty milquetoast, actually. And then he basically, he has to apologize for? He makes him apologize and whatever?
Yeah, and then the fans put out a banner saying, like, you know, Leighton Baines is one of ours, you know, and all of that. And I think for manager, wherever you're coming from, whoever you are, whether you've got gruesome or not, it's just not nice, I think, to have one of your key players. And I do think that he lost his senior players very early in his Everton career, probably even last season. You can't compete against that. I think, you know, if the momentum of the, especially the leaders of your dressing room are against you, then it's over.
We are talking about a manager who, while they did spend, well, actually started doing worse once they started spending more heavily, but he did obviously win the FA Cup at Wigan, but he also, I think, I'm going off the top of my head, people can pull me up on Twitter, didn't they finish sort of sixth or fifth?
Fifth in the first season.
Yeah.
You can make an argument.
No, but I'm more interesting, I appreciate his decline, Roy, but I want to throw to you, does that show that he can actually be good? And if he's clever, he can learn from some of the mistakes he made and come back and as a much better manager?
Yeah, without question. There should be no assumption that Roberto Martinez, because
You can still pronounce him with your Yorkshire accent. Just put the emphasis on Martinez rather than Martinez.
I might say in proper Yorkshire, Martinez. Because his last 2 years were anticlimactic, that shouldn't be confused with this is a man who is without merit as a manager, and that's part of the problem with a lot of managers now, that you see that they do badly in one job and then everyone decides that means they are entirely terrible. So you get people, it's changed with Benitez, funnily enough, that there was a point where he was linked with Newcastle 3 or 4 years ago and loads of Newcastle fans were saying, well, no, he's not good enough for us. And you think, hang on, this is a fellow who's won the European Cup. And it's the same with Martinez. There's no reason that he shouldn't be given a job lower down the Premier League or top of the Championship sort of thing, because it didn't work out at Everton. But you can equally make the case that his success in that first season was because he inherited David Moyes' defence, and that when he had to put a defence together himself, it wasn't quite as sort of impermeable. A sort of a miniature version of the Wenger thing at Arsenal, where the first 10 years is built on a defence that he inherited and an attack that he created. You can apply the same logic to Martinez.
Quick whip round, one word answer. More likely to come back and have a successful managerial career, Martinez or Brendan?
You've asked this before.
I know, but I love it. Allison.
Weirdly, I'm not going to go and change my mind. Martinez.
Yeah, I agree.
Both.
Who's going to have the better career going forward is both.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to have the better career.
That's why I'm asking you. What's your guess?
Martinez is probably slightly further along and also doesn't have the bile towards Martinez from the general public is not the same as the bile towards Rodgers.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is more baggage in that regard. Another manager who's leaving us, which caused massive consternation among some people on Match of the Day, I think mostly people who didn't spend a lot of time reading up on Watford and how that club is run, is Kike Sanchez-Flores. I think he's a really, really, really good manager, just maybe not the right manager for this club to continue. That's my view. Rory, what's your take?
Exactly the same, Gab. I think you can criticise the Potters all you like, but there is a logic in that they have had a woeful second half of the season, and that in their model, where the manager isn't kind of given this huge kind of philosophical control over the club, where the manager is just another employee, that he hasn't performed in the last 6 months. So you can see why they've decided to make a change, because it is so important not to, if he can't rescue them from this slump at the start of next season, then they don't have to sack him then anyway. So it is better to do it now. I like Kite a lot. I think he's an excellent manager. I think he'll probably get a bigger job than Watford this summer because of what he's done. But I can see why the Potters have done it.
But can't you see? I do get it. And I also get the argument that this is sensible ownership. Why wait for things to get really bad before you get rid of a manager? Identify the problems you have early, even if they make you look unpopular. But do you not see the inherent lack of logic in saying, oh, he's going to get a better job than the Watford job, but he's not good enough for Watford? It is a bit quirky.
I think the argument, what people forget about Kike Sanchez-Flores is if you look where he was before, he's had some really big jobs. And I don't mean it's any disrespect to Watford. He is, by CV, he's not a Watford standard manager. He is a guy who really should be managing a top six club in a major European league. I think he took a gamble. He took some humility. He said, I'm going to come to England. I'm going to take a step back and fight to avoid relegation. I want to prove that I can do it. But, you know, Watford also know that if he does well, he's going to bolt, which is why, as Rory said, they have a system that's not contingent on the manager. One thing I want to add to this is their business model, the Pozzo family, works on spending enormous amounts of money on scouting, and the players they've scouted and brought in, identified young. It's just an unbelievable list from Alexis Sanchez to Oliver Bierhoff to goodness knows what. And you have to play the kids. They don't want, you know, you can play the veterans to stay up, but then after that, you know, we want you to promote the kids because we're going to go and we're going to sell them on. What happened at Watford this year was they're flying along. They have, I think, 29 points after the first 19 games of the season. Tremendous. And he decides that he wants two veterans, Amrabat to be a backup center forward, even though he never played center forward before, and Mario Suarez, who's sort of a veteran midfielder, former Atletico Madrid, in midfield, to go and build on this. And they said, okay, fine, but, you know, we'll take a run at Europe, but if that doesn't work out, we have all these really talented youngsters that we really like, and we would like you to play, like Berghuis and Ulare. And they weren't able to make that run at the top six, and he still didn't play Berghuis and Ulari. I don't think Ulari's played at all this season, you know. So, and then for next season, again, their plan, I think it's an open secret, is they've got these two young players at Granada. Peñaranda is just 18, and this other guy, wonderfully named Success, who they want to bring in to sort of be the backup strikers, or, you know, maybe share time if either Igalo or Troy Deeney leave. And, you know, his line was, no, we need to kick on. We need to spend more money so that we can, you know, we show this year we can do it. I think it's fine from Kike's perspective, but it's not right for this group of people, for this ownership and the model that they've been running for the last three decades.
Yeah, and I think for him as well, for Kike Sanchez-Flores, he will leave the club on a high. You know, he's done a great job at Watford, sorry. Everybody could see them going down at the start of the season. He kept them up, had a good run in the cup. He's going to get, you know, he's leaving really vindicated, I think, in the job he's done. And that for him is great. And I'm not saying that, you know, he wanted to be sacked or anything like that. He wanted to go because I think maybe he would have liked to stay. But now he also knows that he will get a much bigger club because what he's done at Watford will be seen by a lot of people in Europe as a great job.
Let me just repeat this for the record, even though it applies to last season because they'll no doubt bring it up. Their first manager last season, Sannino, decided that he'd had enough of England and he went home for personal reasons. Their second manager last season, Oscar, had a heart attack and had to go to the hospital and was told that for health reasons you can no longer manage. Their third manager, Billy McKinley, was there on an interim basis. Their fourth manager was the beloved Slavisa Jukanovic. And people say, well, he took them up. No, he did a very good job coaching the first team, which is what you do when you're on a Watford club. They didn't think Jukanovic was the right guy for the Premier League. I think at Fulham, I don't follow the Championship. Rory and Alison, I'm sure you guys follow the Championship more closely than me. I believe Fulham have a big wage bill and have spent a lot of money. And have they been promoted?
They have not.
Are they somewhere near the bottom of the table? Okay, which may speak to Fulham's dysfunction, but it just shows that, you know, Jukanovic isn't Mr. Instant Stardust either. Yes.
Yeah, but I have a question. What do you make of Walter Mazzarri, and do you think he'll do well in England?
Walter Mazzarri would not be my choice for Watford manager. I think it's a curious decision. He had some really major personality conflicts when he was at Inter, and you can chalk that up to Inter being a dysfunctional, horribly run basket case of a club. And so maybe you don't put the blame on him. But he also fell out with people towards the end at Napoli. I don't think his football is much to shout about. And he also kind of gives me the sense of somebody who, somebody who has big ambitions beyond Watford still, and who can't handle being out of the game. And this is an age-old problem, I think. When clubs go interview managers, managers tell them what they want to hear. And then when they get into the job, then they do what managers do. And the fundamental...
Have you enjoyed the fact that the new trend, like 3 years ago, everyone wanted like someone who looked a bit like Pep and was like young and wore jumpers and kind of came through...
And they want somebody who looks like Dustin Hoffman?
Do you like the fact that now everyone's going out and getting really old Italian managers?
Is Mazzarri really old?
He's 54. He's not young.
Not that old either.
He's not that old, but you, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, it's suddenly like, let's get an Italian. Let's appoint Francesco Guidolin.
Right, how about some quick hits? John Terry was much feted at Stamford Bridge and addressed the crowd, but was rather coy about his future. Allison, he's been offered a contract. We're not really clear on the terms or to what degree it's a playing contract versus non-playing contract. Can you explain to us why you would possibly say no, since you're clearly going to be unhappy anywhere else? It's just about money. Even if they keep you around just to lay out the cones, it's hard for people to understand why you wouldn't say yes.
Oh, I think John Terry believes what he says when he says it, but he really is a heart-on-the-sleeve sort of guy. But I think he's also incredibly proud. If he or the people he listens to tell him that the contract he's been offered is in any way an insult to his great service to the club, he won't take it. Even though he says he could never play in another Premier League club, I wouldn't be surprised to see him do that if he felt it was a just reward for his career, as opposed to just, as you say, putting the cones out at Cobham.
He was at West Ham when he was really, really, really young, wasn't he, in the youth team?
No, he's one of our own. I know.
It's just so weird to imagine him anywhere else. Anyway, Spurs faceplant at the final hurdle, losing 5-1 at Newcastle and letting second place slip through their fingers. Rory, it's easy to joke about St. Tottenham's Day. I believe somebody's already done that on this podcast. But is there a broader lesson here?
There is, I think, yeah. I think
Matthew Syed would find one.
Of course he would. I think there is. I think that they've not been helped by the suspensions, obviously, but they lost their cool and their composure a little bit in the final run-in. Pochettino's been talking all year about how young Spurs are, that they have the youngest first team, I think, the average age in Europe. Their last four games have been proof that they still have a lot to learn.
By the way, mad props to Pochettino for coming out after the game and talking about how terrible they were and how, you know, basically speaking truth to the fans and to everybody. I know he can do it because he's in a privileged position, but still, relative to some of the nonsense that some of his colleagues come up with, that was refreshing. Tottenham's defeat, coupled with Arsenal's thumping of Aston Villa and Olivier Giroud's hat-trick, means Arsene Wenger enjoys his best league finish in 11 years. Given the number of Arsenal players you tried to cram into our team of the season, yep. Julian, I'm guessing you're going to argue that some of the criticism directed at Wenger is a bit over the top and there's nothing to see here and everything's fine and Arsene knows.
Everything is not fine. I understand the frustration and I understand that it was not very pretty all season for Arsenal and that there's still some... there's a lot of things missing for them to win the league. However, just be careful what you wish for, because you could get rid of Arsene Wenger and who knows who would come in, and then for a long time you wouldn't even see the second place or the third place or the fourth place. So I think for now he's the right man, and then someone will come up who will do a better job than him.
See, Julian, petting the line that there'd be some kind of massive rebuild if Wenger left, as if Arsenal don't have one of the top four wage bills and they don't have better resources than just about anybody else. And so automatically anybody who replaces Wenger is going to have to start like from 12th place. Yes, very, very sensible, Julian. Liverpool draw 1-1 at West Brom, but it's okay because it's all about the Europa League. Allison, I think your allegiance is well known. I'm not outing you. Where does this rank on your personal excitement scale?
What, 1-1 at the Hawthorns?
No. The prospect of the Europa League Wednesday night, or a Champions League playoff, as some people call it.
Well, let's just say I've spent rather a lot of money getting to the Europa League final, and I am anticipating a good result, and I think it's desperately important. Champions League place, Klopp can attract A-star talent, clear out players who aren't good enough, and make an assault for the Premier League title. It is incredibly important.
Plus, Mario, aware.
I'm still thinking about it, Rory.
Plus, Mario could be back next season, so that'll be a boost. Ollie Kay writes in today's Times that it's time for Louis van Gaal to go. It's not the most original sentiment, perhaps, but he argues it more eloquently than most. Rory, I'm assuming you probably can't be as eloquent as Ollie on this one, but do you agree with him?
I can't be as eloquent as Ollie on anything, Jab. You know that. I do. I think that if Van Gaal stays, then all you get at United next year is, as soon as they lose a game, is loads of question marks over his future. Jose Mourinho being randomly photographed in lots of different spots, and his representatives saying things to certain journalists, and it all gets very messy again. So I think in everybody's interest, the cup final should be Van Gaal's swan song.
Zlatan said farewell to the Parc des Princes this weekend. Julien, set the scene, please. Tell us what happened. And give us percentage chances on where he will go. And maybe even tell me, am I insane for thinking that maybe actually he will be back just because he enjoyed the party so much and he can have another farewell next year? No, because he's not going to. He might not get a better deal in a better environment somewhere else.
It was a great day. Maybe over the top, you could argue, and I would agree with that.
Stopping the game?
I know, but it's Zlatan. You know, there's nothing good enough for Zlatan. They gave masks, like Zlatan, you know, those masks that you put, paper masks that you put on your face, and his kids came on the pitch when he was substituted, and one, Vincent had a legend number 10 at the back. And Maximilian had King number 10 on the back. He was all great. He was close to tears. He lifted the French League trophy. It was fantastic. He will go, unfortunately. I mean, you know, even the great things always have to end at some point. And I think he might go to MLS. I think that'd be interesting. Although, I still think he's good enough to play in some top club in Europe.
If Paris Saint-Germain don't sign a superstar, if for whatever reason they can't get Cristiano, they can't get James, and given, and maybe Zlatan watches some MLS on television during the Euros and says, I can't go to the LA Galaxy. I don't really want to be here. Maybe he gets on the phone with Frank Lampard, who tells him what a great time he's been having in New York City. Reads up on the smog reports in China and stuff like that. And Mourinho does not get the United job. And he realizes that he'd be insane to go back to Milan. What chance that he just says, hey, hello, Nasser. It's me, Zlatan. Can I come back?
I know. I would love that. I mean,
is that a possibility?
I don't think so. He wanted a two-year deal, a new two-year deal. He's 35 in October, 3rd of October. I think the club thought, like, no, that's too much, especially after what he did in the Champions League against City. I think the club really felt a bit let down, and they thought it was time to move on. Like, his time had been great, like we said, especially in the league.
38 goals and 29 starts and 2 sub-appearances this
year. No, it's amazing. It is amazing.
What greater honour can there be towards Zlatan than knowing that he broke the rule for quick hits, and you've just talked and talked about him without going beep 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 beep?
Because it's Zlatan.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. There is no greater honour.
I've got a question for you, Gab. So it wasn't much of a surprise. Oh God, I began a sentence with so somebody shoot me. It wasn't much of a surprise since they scored straight away, then added to it. But Barcelona defeated Granada to secure the La Liga title. To secure the Liga title, with Real Madrid finishing a single point behind. Any wise words for us, Gab, on Luis Enrique and Zinedine Zidane?
Yes, Zinedine Zidane, all told. I was wrong about him. I thought for a million and one reasons, I thought it was a really risky appointment. But he did what it said on the tin. I think it's something like 26 games, 21 wins, 3 draws, 2 defeats. One of them are pretty much irrelevant because he turned around against Wolfsburg. The other one against Atletico in the league. He hasn't fought with anybody. He's generally kept everybody happy. He's played Casemiro, which Rafa found it difficult to do. Not Rafa's fault. Maybe we all got Zizou wrong, although the big challenge is the rebuilding job ahead. As for Barcelona, I want to say this. Gerard Piqué came out and said we had to win the league twice this year, and he's right. I think in some ways this is the most impressive league win that they've had in the last 8 years, and they've won 6 leagues in that time, because they watched in early April as they got knocked out of the Champions League, as their lead went from 8 points to 0 points, and then they came back with sort of this tremendous run at the end of the season. I think that you know, takes some cojones on the part of players. So a well-earned league title, I think, for Barcelona. Right, that's all we've got time for today. Many, many, many thanks to my excellent guests today, Julien Laurens, Alison Rudd, Rory K. Smith, who came late because he was talking to the legendary Monchi. And you can press that subscribe button. We're going to be back next week for our final podcast of the season. It's going to be a special podcast where we're going to get everybody on. No, it's not going to be. It's just going to be me, Syed, and Kit Simons. Won't that be good? fan. Remember, you can get exclusive football highlights free as part of your subscription. Just £12 for a 12-week trial. And all you need to do is search The Times online. Actually, you need to do a little more than just search The Times online. You need to search for The Times online and then actually sign up and hand over bank or credit card details. But it is easy and straightforward to do. And in my humble opinion, since I'm a happy subscriber and have been for a long time, it's definitely worth it. Till next time, bye-bye.
Your subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times now comes with access to every Barclays Premier League goal. Refresh your app, choose your team, accept notification, and you're away.
Thank you for downloading. To discover more, head to thetimes.co.uk.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.